Trump's tariff plans might not mesh with his infrastructure plans. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio. President Trump is, so far, holding firm on his plans to impose tariffs on imports of steel and aluminum. That means industries that rely on these metals could see higher prices, including the construction industry. Marketplace's Rima Kreis looks at how that'd undercut the administration's big plan to rebuild our infrastructure.
The construction industry uses steel in everything from beams and floors to highways and elevator shafts.
It's the single largest domestic steel consuming industry.
Lee Brandstetter is an economics professor at Carnegie Mellon University. He says about 40% of the nation's steel consumption goes to construction. And if tariffs are imposed on foreign steel or aluminum, suppliers here in the U.S. could choose to bump up their prices, too.
This means that some construction projects will probably be put on hold or delayed or scaled down.
And contractors are already dealing with high steel prices. Global demand for construction products has been rising, pushing up costs by about 5% over the past year. Ken Simonson, an economist with the industry group Associated General Contractors, says higher steel prices would put contractors in a tight spot.
So their margins are really getting squeezed already, and their only choice would be to pass on these higher costs.
And he says to cut back on potentially hundreds of jobs. I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.
And now let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 1.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.5% range, with the Dow future up 150 points. We've heard recently from some companies that are putting their new tax savings towards wage increases and employee bonuses, but more often, that money's going to stock buybacks. That's where companies buy up some of their own stock. That reduces the supply of shares available for sale and can push up the share price. Marketplace's Ryan Kailoff explains.
Allison Omens works for the nonprofit Just Capital, and she's been tracking exactly how big companies are spending that sweet, sweet tax cut cash.
6% is going to worker issues. 58% is going to management and shareholders.
6% going to workers via raises, bonuses, health benefits. 58% going to shareholders. President Trump's chief economist, Kevin Hassett, acknowledged this recently.
Right now, we're going to see probably more dividends and share buybacks than wage increases. But going forward, we're going to see a lot of capital formation and wage growth.
In other words, back off. Yes, companies are rewarding themselves right now, but all those great changes we promised, those are coming.
Well, they're not.
Bill Lozonik at UMass Lowell says buybacks like these are standard now. Companies even borrow money to buy back stock.
It's not short-term, long-term. It's really who's creating value and who's getting to extract the value.
In his view, management rewarding itself at the expense of labor isn't the outcome of a sudden windfall. It's just modern capitalism at work. In New York, I'm Ryan Kailoff for Marketplace.
To Chicago, where debt from unpaid parking tickets and traffic violations is prompting an increasing number of bankruptcies. ProPublica Illinois recently analyzed data about Chicago's ticketing system to learn about the burden it creates for residents. Melissa Sanchez was one of the reporters. So, Melissa, your data suggests these fines go disproportionately to poor and minority residents. Why is that?
Basically, it's because fines accumulate extra penalties when they're not paid on time. I can get a ticket for $75, but if I don't pay it immediately, if I can't afford to pay it because I'm making these choices between, buying my kids winter boots or paying the utility bill, I allow that debt to double, which is what happens in the city of Chicago. And then if more time passes and I still don't pay it, the city tax on a 22% collection fee. So you're talking closer to $200 at that point.
So what happens if you can't pay the debt?
If you don't pay your parking tickets and you accumulate 10 unpaid parking tickets, then you can lose your license in Illinois. More immediately, if you accumulate just two tickets that end up unpaid for a given amount of time, then the city can put your car on the boot list, which means that it can get this metal clamp installed that prevents you from moving it until you pay a significant payment towards your debt and other fees to get that removed.
Right. And so if you take away someone's license or you take away their vehicle, obviously that makes it harder for them to work and harder for them to repay this debt.
Exactly. And our data suggests that with the license suspensions in particular, low-income blacks in all of Illinois are the ones who are paying the disproportionate share. They're the ones who are losing their licenses the most.
So how does Chicago compare to other cities? What's fueling this?
There's a few reasons. One of the big ones is that there's no statute of limitations in Illinois for ticket debt. In New York and Los Angeles, there's, I think, an 8-year statute of limitation. In New York, in L.A., it's 5 years. And so the amount of debt that's on the books in those cities is significantly lower. In Chicago, the city says that drivers owe about $1.5 billion, with a B, dollars in debt. In L.A., it's 20-some million. In New York, it's a couple hundred million. And these are bigger cities. And Chicago is just very aggressive in its ticketing in general. And this is part of a national trend of cities that are desperate to bring in some kinds of revenue, afraid of, you know, raising property taxes or whatever. And so they go after fines and fees to try to make up the difference. And so the city makes, I think, more than $200 million in tickets, fines, and fees, and which is a pretty significant chunk of change.
Melissa Sanchez is a reporter for ProPublica. Her investigation is called How Chicago Ticket Debt Sends Black Motorists into Bankruptcy. Melissa, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll post a link to Melissa's investigation on marketplace.org. Look for it in the Mentioned on Air tab. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.